just a few things I'd like to say briefly before I go into the message this morning. I know it may have seemed like I rushed through the preliminaries. My mind is somewhat distracted, I guess, from those things right now. I have a message on my heart, and I guess you only have to experience to know it, but sometimes the Lord burdens my heart with a message, and it's like it's burning a hole in me. And I was this morning, way before Shirley and I really needed to leave the house, I was pacing the hall and walking up and down through the house and wondering if she was ever going to get ready. And I mentioned something to her until I finally got the look, and then I quit doing that. But I'm thankful to have a privilege to speak for the Lord again today. And I'd like to read some scripture from Matthew chapter 22, beginning with the first verse. And I want to read about 9 verses. Matthew chapter 22, beginning with verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. And I want to stop reading with those first 9 verses from Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 9. And the title of my message today is going to be taken from the 4th verse of this scripture text. Matthew chapter 22, verse 4 is where I would like to take my title today. And it is, All Things Are Ready. I want you to think about that with me today, if you will, that all things are ready. And that was a statement that the Lord made in the teaching of this parable, that they would go, that the servants would go, and that they would let it be known that the dinner had been prepared, that the oxen and the fatlings were killed, and that all things had been made ready. And then he just said simply to them, come to the marriage. And there are many things that we could think about today that would bear similarity to this. I know when our children were growing up that my wife and I, we had a family ritual of coming to the dinner table. My wife would work very hard and prepare a meal, and she would get it all ready, and everything would be on the table, and everything would be set for us to sit down as a family and talk about our day and how things were going, and have a meal together. And so she would get everything ready and come to the point where the only thing left was for us to sit down and fellowship and dine. And I want to speak today to those of you primarily that are not saved. Brother Spicer, in his good message last night, he made it known that man is guilty of sin. He reminded us again last night that Adam transgressed God in the garden and became guilty of sin, and through his transgression, sin passed upon all his posterity. He quoted the verse to us from Romans chapter 5, verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And he reminded us again yesterday evening in his message that because of sin, that mankind is going to die. And the Bible very plainly teaches us that the wages of sin, or the penalty of sin, is death. And every man shall die for his own iniquity. And so we have been plunged into sin, and we're guilty of sin. And because of that, everybody is going to die. And we, you and I today, as we go through this life, we all have the same spiritual need. We've all got that in common. We all need forgiveness of sin. But what I would like to bring before you today is that even though man transgressed the commandment of God and did bring sin into the world and did bring death upon themselves as a result of their sin, even though that man disobeyed God, we are blessed and fortunate in the fact that it did not stop God from loving mankind. Despite what we have done to him, the Lord still loves us. And he is willing today to forgive you of your sin. And friends, I want you to know something today. That's the only eternal hope that you have. The only eternal hope that you have is based upon the fact that God loves you and is willing to forgive you. And so, because of that love that God has for the human family, all things have been made ready. I want you to know today, and I want to try to get this across to you today, that all things that were necessary to be done in order for you to be able to come to the Lord have been done. Everything necessary has been made ready. There's nothing that's lacking. There's nothing else that God needs to do in order for you to be able to be saved. It's all been finished. And I want to speak about two things today that all of us have the privilege, we have the privilege and are being offered today the privilege of being part of something that is greater than anything else ever has been. You have the offer today from God, and I want to state that not only to go along with the title of the message, not only have all things been made ready, and not only are all things ready, but all things are made ready by God. He's the one that made them ready. And you know, there are some things today that can be offered to you and perhaps will be offered to you through this local body here today, through Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church. But listen, the only reason that they can be is because God has made everything ready. And so the two things that I wanted to mention to you is that first of all, today, you have the opportunity to be given eternal life. You have the opportunity today to be saved from your sins. And you also have the opportunity today to be part of the greatest institution that has ever been known to man, and that is the Lord's church. And those of us that are privileged to be members of the Lord's church, you know, I thought about this when I studied this, how that God has so blessed us, even with the time in which we have been born. You know, as great as Abraham was, I mean, the Bible depicts him as the father of the faithful. As great as the man Abraham was in his lifetime, and as diligently as he served God, and as great as Moses was, I mean, the Bible tells us that he was the mediator of that old covenant. As great as Moses was, and King David, who Brother Weed has so ably been teaching about for weeks in his Sunday school class. Yet with the greatness of all these men, Brother Wheat, we have been given the privilege of belonging to something that they never could. And we've been born into this world in a wonderful time because we live in the age of the Lord's church. And she does have a very distinct place in the Lord's heart. The Bible says that he purchased the church with his own blood. And she will one day have and hold a very distinct place in heaven. And so you today have the awesome privilege of being able and of having the opportunity to take part in both of those things. Now I want to tell you something, friends, today everybody that has been saved by the grace of God ought to be a member of the Lord's church. And that's the way that God envisioned it, and that's the way that he set it up. And when John the Baptist, you can read in the third chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, when he came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, he was preaching not one thing, but he was preaching and making two main points. He was preaching, first of all, repentance. But he also preached that you ought to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The Lord was establishing something there that had never been known to man before that day. And so John said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you're going to have to repent before God if you're ever going to be saved by his grace, because without repentance you will all likewise perish. And so you're going to have to repent and you're going to have to be saved before you can become a part of that kingdom. You've got to be qualified to be a part of the Lord's church. There are conditions that must be met in order for you to be a part of the Lord's church. But once that he has saved you, you ought to be a part of his church. I've preached that my whole ministry, and I'm convinced that that's what the Bible teaches us, and I continue to preach. I'm going to go ahead and insert this. I didn't know where this would fit in, but I have some other things I want to say, but I'm going to go ahead and put this in. I've had several people already ask me today who we're baptizing. Well, I don't know. All I know is I did what God told me to do and filled the baptistry. And the Lord, when he here in the last few days, when he burdened my heart with this message, he spoke to me and moved upon my heart and told me this. And I want you to know today, and I believe that I know why the Lord did this. I certainly don't suppose to know the mind of the Lord, but I've got an idea of why he did this. I believe that the Lord wants you to see today that everything is ready. I've got the baptistry's filled and it's warm. I've got my extra clothes in the back room and I brought towels and I've got enough for you. If the Lord moves upon your heart today to be a member of his church, we can take care of it right now. And I'm afraid sometimes, friends, that we don't have enough of those spontaneous baptisms like we read about in the scriptures. Sometimes we've just got too much planning to do. I love the scriptures where I read about somebody getting saved and they made known that they had been saved and they were immediately baptized into the Lord's church. I love those times. Friends, I want you to know today, everything is ready. For whatever you need, whatever God moves upon your heart today and impresses you with, we're ready. This church here is ready, and through the authority given unto us by God from heaven, we offer to all of those that can produce evidence of being saved, of having passed from death unto life. We offer through this local body the privilege of being baptized into the Lord's church. And for those of you that have been baptized since the time that I have been here as your pastor, and those that were baptized in times past by someone else that was here as pastor, I want you to understand something today, that when we walked into that pool of water together and I said a few words, or whoever it was that baptized you said a few words and put you under the water and brought you up out of the water, I want you to understand something today, that it's not just ritual and it's not just tradition. We walk in there with authority from God to administer that ordinance. And I'll tell you what, I feel it. When I walk in to the waters of baptism with somebody, I feel it. And I know that we're doing the work of the Lord. The things that God has done in order for everything to be made ready. You know what? I'm not worthy today to sit down at the table of the Lord. Sometimes I think about Mephibosheth. You know, Jonathan's son Mephibosheth, how that he was lame. And David asked the question, is there any left of the house of Saul that I might show kindness to? And he was told that about Mephibosheth. And as I said, he was lame and he was crippled, but yet he had the privilege of coming and sitting down at the table of the king. Friends, listen, we're not worthy today to sit down at the table of the king. We're not worthy for the supper, the marriage unto which that we have been invited. We're not worthy of that. Not one of us is worthy of that. And you're not worthy today of being saved and knowing this blessed Savior in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. But yet he stands with stretched out arms and he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I told the church a few weeks back that I love the fellowship of the church so much that I'd like to just build a big house and just have everybody come over. I'll tell you what, though, if you ever get an invitation to my home, if you ever get an invitation, and I hope that all of you will be able to get to everybody, and you'll be able to have an invitation to come to our house and sit down and eat with us. But I want you to know something, friends. Today, you got a better invitation than any man is ever going to give you. You've been invited today to come to the King's house. You've been invited today to come to His table. You've been invited by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that doesn't owe us lowly peasants anything. Friends, listen, the Bible talks about God, and it tells us that He is so great and so magnificent that He sits upon the circle of the earth, and all the inhabitants are like grasshoppers before Him. That's how great that God is compared to you and I. And yet He cries out. You may have heard the invitation from time to time through the preacher to come and seek the Lord. You may have heard it said, you know, the mourner's bench here is open. Come and seek the Lord. Listen, friends, the true invitation goes out from God. God is inviting you. Come unto me. Come unto me. Seek ye and be saved. Come unto me and you'll find rest for your souls. He's calling you today. But there were things that had to be done in order for all things to be made ready. I want to tell you today, whether you are lost or whether you are saved, whatever your spiritual condition may be, what you need to do today is you need to give heed to whatever it is that God invites you to do. You need to take heed to whatever God impresses upon your heart today to do. And friends, you need to do it. Because God will bless you whenever you are obedient to whatever that it is that He asks of you. God will bless you for doing that and for obeying Him. Man became sinful. And God did not want them eternally separated from Him. But you see, another thing that Brother Spicer taught us again last night is that because of sin, we are separated from God. When man sinned, he did become separated from God. That wasn't God's will. That wasn't God's desire. But it sure was a fact that when man sinned against God, there was a breach between them. There was a separation between them. Isaiah said, "Your iniquities have separated you from your God." And listen, if you today are lost and in your sins, I want you to know that you're not separated from God today, because that's what He desires, because that's His will. You're separated from God today because of sin. And something had to be done. Something had to be done to breach the gap. Something had to be done in order to make a way for you to come back to God, that all things could be made ready. And a man named Jesus, the very Son of God. I mean, you talk about a wise master builder. There was nobody that could build. You know, Jesus in the flesh, He was a carpenter. You know, Jesus was a natural carpenter. Well, He was a spiritual carpenter too. He took an old rugged cross and three nails and built a bridge out of it that reached all the way to heaven. All the way from earth to heaven. And that bridge spans that gap today. And if you're going to see heaven, listen, there's many of us here today that are going to heaven. Boy, I'll tell you what, my heart got fired up. I got lifted up a little bit higher when we sang the song this morning. I thought about it when it said, what a day that will be. I got lifted up to a little bit higher plane, and I thought about that, and what a day that it really will be. Friends, listen, there are many of us here today that are going to heaven. We're going to walk the streets of gold one day in the presence of the Lord. But if you've not been saved, you're not going. And the only way that you're ever going to remedy that is by coming to Jesus, repenting of your sins, and trusting Him for the salvation of your soul. And if you fail to do that, I don't care how many church services that you may sit through. I don't care how good a parents that you may have or how well that they may have raised you. If you never come to Jesus and seek Him with all of your heart and trust Him for salvation, you're going to split hell wide open and you're going to lose your soul for all of eternity, regardless of the provision that has been made. If you are like these when they were bidden to the supper that made light of it and did not take advantage of it and did not heed the invitation, you're going to split hell wide open for all of eternity and you're going to be lost and separated from God. And listen, it doesn't make any difference whether or not you may even have come to the mourner's bench or not. I want to say this again, and I want you to understand what I'm saying. I'm not trying to discourage anybody, but if you're not doing anything but coming to a mourner's bench, you're not going to find the Lord until you come to the Lord Jesus in your heart. You're not going to find Him. And it doesn't have, I mean, it can happen on a mourner's bench. It can happen in the middle of the aisle. It can happen outside. It can happen wherever you meet those conditions. But until you truly come to Him and seek Him with all of your heart, you're not going to know Him. He went to the cross. He gave His life. He laid it down for you and for I. He suffered. The Bible says He humbled Himself and He became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. He hung there suspended between heaven and earth in His suffering, and He gave up His life in order to make the atonement for our sins. And one of the last things that He said before that His life was finished here on the earth was He lift His head up and He said, Father, it is finished. It's finished. The atonement was made. The sacrifice was made. The blood that was necessary to be spilled in order to purge you from your sins was finished. There on the cross of Calvary, He finished it. He made the atonement. The plan of salvation wasn't finished, but the atonement was finished. There was yet something to be done. They took His body down. They laid it in a tomb. You know, you may be fortunate enough to own your own. Some of you may have already bought the plot where you're going to be buried. You may be blessed enough to own your own tomb. Jesus didn't. He was laid in a tomb that was owned by a man named Joseph of Arimathea. They took Him down from the cross and He was dead. when they came there to break their bones because of the drawing nigh of the Passover. They came there, Jesus was already dead, and they took his body down and they laid it in a tomb. And then on scheduled time, he got up with all of the power in heaven and in earth. He got up from the dead. And if he would not have done that, all things would not be ready today. He got up. He arose victorious from the grave. He laid his body down. He took his body up again. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, that he was delivered for our offenses and he was raised again for our justification. If it would not have been for the Lord Jesus Christ resurrecting from the dead, I wouldn't be able to stand before you today and tell you with all boldness and all assurance that all things are ready, because we would still be in our sins. My preaching today would be in vain. Our faith would be in vain. If the Lord had not rose from the dead, then all things would not be ready for you today. But he did. And he made himself alive by many infallible proofs. I hope today that you truly believe that he lives. I know he does. He's living down in my soul. After his resurrection, he came to his church. They were represented by the disciples. He came and spake to the 11, and he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." And he sent his church out into the world to sound the invitation and to let it be known that Jesus has risen from the dead, and that in him is salvation, in him is eternal life. And within about 70 years, that church had evangelized what was the then known world. I mean, they spread the gospel message all over the place, in Judea, in Samaria, in the uttermost parts of the earth. They went out and they made it known to people that they could be saved if they would look to Christ. Listen, if you are here today and you're lost, you are privileged today that it has been made known unto you that there is a Savior that died for you and that rose from the dead and commissioned his church to bring this message to you. What a great blessing that you have today to be here. You've been invited, friends. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." You have been invited to come to the Lord and to seek him that you might be saved. I liked what Brother Spicer reminded of us of again last night, and I believe it. He said that from the very moment that Adam transgressed God, God would have been just and had every right to just cut mankind off right there and say, "You'll never have part with me again." If God would have chosen to do that, there wouldn't be one of us here today that could rightfully say that God was unjust towards us. God had every right. God was the one that created man. God was the one that gave man the commandment. And when man disobeyed him, God had the eternal right to just cut us off and for to send every one of us to a devil's hell, and he would have not been unjust or unrighteous in doing it at all. What a great blessing it is that God loves you and that he loves me. What a great blessing that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God made the atonement by sending his Son to die on the cross. He purchased justification when he raised him from the dead. He made it to where you could know what you must do in order to be saved, and the gospel supplies that information. Romans 1:16, Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." God sent his church out into the world to sound the trumpet of the gospel in every corner of the earth. And friends, you have been warned. You've been warned. If you won't come to the Lord with all of your heart and seek him until he saves your soul, you'll be just like these that we read about in the parable of the supper. The Lord will said there, he'll say one day, "They weren't worthy of my mercy." And that worthiness there is not a self-worthiness that we have. It's the worthiness that Paul spoke about in Acts chapter 13, verse 46, when he was preaching to the Jews and they rejected the things he was saying. And he said it was necessary that the word of God would be given to you first, but seeing you've put it from yourselves and judged yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, you see, that's where the unworthiness comes in. When you reject the invitation from God, you have judged yourselves that way. And I want to say this again, as I tried to say to you last night, if you are lost here right now, then you are presently, at this very moment, you are under condemnation from God. The sentence has already been passed. You are going to hell. The beauty is that while you're living, you have the privilege of seeking God for a pardon. But it's not just that he will one day condemn your soul. You are condemned already. And you've got a short span of time to seek him for a pardon. And if you look in Isaiah chapter 55, you'll find that he invited to let the wicked forsake their way and turn unto the Lord, for he will abundantly pardon. He will grant you pardon. God would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We're going to have a song here in a moment, and this is what I want to tell you today. If you're here and you're lost, you've got an invitation from God to come to him and be saved. That same invitation is being voiced through the church here at Fairview Memorial also. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." We are extending God's invitation. We're not giving you our own. We are extending God's invitation. You're invited to come and be saved because all things are made ready. If you have been saved by his grace, you are invited to come and to be a part of the Lord's church. and you should be. And so I'm going to, as we ask the congregation to stand, and as we sing, I'm going to ask you today to do whatever it is that the Lord would have you to do. If you're lost, then you need to come seeking the Lord. If you've been saved and you desire to be a part of this church, I'll tell you what, you just come on up here and let me know, and we can take care of that also. Everything is ready because the Lord has made it ready. So while we stand to sing, whatever your need is, be obedient to the Lord.
183. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling.
Bless you, honey.
Take thy cross and follow.
Miranda said she wants to join the church, and I'm so thankful that she got saved, and I'm thankful that she's willing to follow the Lord and do what God would have her to do. Be seated if you would. Many of us heard her testimony the other night. I really rejoiced in it, and we're going to ask her at this time if she would again to tell the church here at Fairview Memorial what the Lord did for you. Tell us about your salvation.
I feel this peace in my heart that I haven't felt before, and I know that when I die, I'll be in the heaven with the Lord.
Amen. When did you experience that?
On revival last Friday.
Amen. All right, you have heard her testimony. To the members here at Fairview Memorial, what's the will of the body? All right, we have a motion and second then to receive Sister Miranda into the fellowship of the church. She'll have all rights and privileges once she's baptized. All members of the church in favor of the motion, please let it be known by raising your hand. Any opposed? Motion carries. I'll tell you what, everyone stand, brother, continue singing. Let's come in. We need to have prayer with these that are lost. Let's come in. You may want to shake hands with Sister Miranda. So everybody stand if you would. And God bless you. God bless you. We can do that. Amen.
She's got it all worked out. She said she had a car, a dress and a car.
Amen.
She has a camera in the car. She said
that. Amen.
So I have to let her do what the Lord wants her to do.
Amen. We'll take care of it. If you want to, after we get finished singing, you can go ahead and get your dress if you want. All right, go ahead, brother.
34. 34. Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. Come while he waits for you. Listen to his voice, leave with him your care, and begin life anew. Kneel at the cross.